Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a Sunday strategy session here. Looking at the AOD hierarchy of assets. So this is your this is basically your AOD applied stuff. We're talking your content here from the book. I've been working on this thing for kind of a while, conceptually anyways, and it's in chapter 5 of the book of the 2022 edition. Remember, if you are a subscriber, which you are if you're listening to this, you're a subscriber to Analytics at Dynasty, you can get the book. If you haven't gotten it already, get the book. Use the promo code subscription. Subscription over at analyticsdynasty.com. Go get the book 50% off. That'll get you your copy here. So I do want to sort of, people have asked me this, and when I wrote this, I had a couple of people read it for me, and you know, because I wasn't sure if I was going to incorporate it, if it was like too complicated. It was a scattershot writing approach. It took me forever to finish it. So it had gone on for a while, but I have basically now gotten it to a point where I feel it was usable and the like. So again, the top of the pyramid of assets, it's, if you're familiar with the Ron Swanson pyramid of greatness, it's where I stole the idea. So it's supermax quarterbacks on top, and then you have underneath that star assets, core assets, contributing assets, partial contributing assets, and then what I call roster fodder. And so your supermax quarterbacks, this is a superflex specific situation. If you're not in superflex, you are obviously not going to value quarterbacks at the top of your hierarchy of assets, but you are going to roster. So then you would think about them as the star assets as being the top, and obviously you'd take quarterbacks down a peg. You can use the same principles to sort of think about the quarterbacks in your start one league, but you're not going to obviously value them at the top in your start one league because they don't deserve to be valued there. And your goal with all these is really to move kind of up your hierarchy of assets, right? That is kind of the goal. And with each kind of step that you take up, there's more security. There's also more longevity. There's also more ceiling. And I think that the ceiling aspect of this has really been something that I've tried to hunt out, right? I think generally we know, like, hey, here's the types of bets to make that, you know, on average are better than other bets. Or that, you know, here are kind of the on average worst bets that you want to avoid. What I think one of the keys we need to keep thinking about is, all right, like here's kind of the average bet, but I need to know sort of what the kind of the big swing looks like, right? Or the, hey, where's the league changing bet? All right, maybe that's not necessarily, it's not all that likely. You know, it was looking back, I think about the Andrews experience about, you know, what did we sort of miss there? Well, we basically missed a super efficient tight end who just wasn't running that many routes, right? And if one thing changed, we didn't necessarily need him to get better. We needed him to run more routes, right? And thinking about that as the type of bet that you want to take. Hey, listen, if it fails, he kind of keeps producing what he's doing, and that's okay. But if it succeeds, it can massively succeed. Right? As you start looking in different positions have different arcs, right? Different things matter at different positions. Tight end's a really good example of, you know, outside of the top 3 to 5 guys, it's really flat. You know, in the hierarchy of assets, I have 3 guys, and then it's a break, and it's actually 2 tiers of a break, right? You go from a star asset with the top 3 guys to you skip over the core assets because no one actually qualifies for that definition, and then you go down to contributing assets. That's how flat it is after the top 3. It's a huge fall off. So when you think about that, like, different positions function a little bit differently. So what we are trying to accomplish with this is safety and security, which longevity, and I think some guardrails. I will say this, I tinker a little bit. So you're going to have, over the next couple of episodes here, you're going to have some content about the, the hierarchy, right? So it'll include guys in some you know, it, looking at the tiers and whatnot, right? Having some content there to think about. I think as you keep looking at this, one thing that keeps coming back to me is, right, we sort of know what the lines look like from the book, right? We kind of know what the arcs look like. But then we can, right, and so that's kind of a good way to stay inside the lines, right? If you're thinking, like, if you're coloring or if you're driving, right, try to stay inside the lines. But when you, you know, if you're driving down the road, staying between the lines, right? But if you see a dead deer in the road, you kind of know to move to a side. You know, if someone swerves in front of you, you know you can move, right? That's kind of how I view these things, right? It's kind of how I view a lot of the rules that we use, right? We sort of know the general principle, and then we want to drive between the lines. But if circumstances present themselves, right, you know when to move. And so that's really one of the things that I want to sort of do when we're thinking about these things is, here's the types of players that we want, right? This is, and the market itself is reflective of those things, right? Because the market will tell you a lot of information. It's not the end all be all, right? And there's, I think, biases, there's, you know, and there's things that we can exploit, which quarterback in particular. And then, you know, we sort of, we could adjust from there, but the adjustment isn't, right? The adjustment's around the edges, right? The adjustment isn't, you know, if we're molding a sculpture here, the adjustment is around, you know, the edges, around the fringes of the sculpture. It's not, you know, tearing out the middle of the clay and starting all over, right? So those are the things that I would think about, again, as you think about team building, as you think about trades and the like, right? The modifications that we're going to make to the principle should be around the edges. And they shouldn't be enormous, right? So when you start thinking about them, you know, and in this, I talk maybe like 3 to 5 guys or so, I'll move around, right? And that's really of the top, like, for example, of the top like 15 quarterbacks, I really only tinkered with a couple of them. And my tinkering has always really been, it's never been to move non-proven guys up, right? Because what do we know? We know the definitions of these things, right? We know that when we look at guys who have hit before versus guys who haven't hit versus guys who have hit multiple times, right? Those are big distinctions. And so we can sort of apply that beyond just, you know, to basically make our general principle smarter. So what do I mean by that? Well, when you look at a guy like Jalen Hurts, and I'm going to go through each of the positions over the next couple of days, when you look at a guy like Jalen Hurts, he's right around or even a little bit more expensive than a guy like Rodgers. However, with Rodgers, we know, you know, the multiple hits, that's a big deal. There is a gap there at his cost, right, over guys that don't have multiple hits, you know, in terms of wins, in terms of warp, right, over the next 3 years, that might be a, you know, that might be a, you know, a win or so, right? That's how big of a difference that can be. So when you start looking at those things, like, it really does, those things really do matter. And so I start to look at it and say, all right, we can make a slight adjustment here. We're gonna move Rodgers up because we kind of know that profile is more durable. It probably ages well into his late 30s, and you know, we will feel more comfortable, I think, when we know where he is, right? That'll all feel better. But all that's to say, right? I'm not going to sort of forgive the lack of resume for Jalen Hurts, right? That has certain risks associated with it. So. Those are really the things that I think that when you look at these, right, that these things very much do matter. And so that's really, I you know, the different distinctions there in terms of the hits, they matter, especially at quarterback, right? And especially if you just sort of tease out the top 12 guys, right, that, you know, the top 12 in particular, they look a little bit different than some of the later guys just because of, that's a lot of where the production is concentrated. The difference there between guys who have hit and guys who haven't hit. That's why we bump up guys like Stafford and Russell Wilson. I'll talk about that in the star assets episode. But I think when you start looking at those guys, right, they make a big difference. So that's the basic principle is we're going to sort of stay between the lines and then we'll tinker where we need to tinker. So let's go through the hierarchy. And again, this is aimed at, you're constantly trying to move up the hierarchy, generally speaking. And then, yeah, there are some, some things that you can do that I talk about in the book. I'll probably do another strategies session on this coming forward about ways to tinker around your assets, right? So I look at the so the Supermax quarterbacks, there's basically a couple of definitions for them. Top five quarterbacks in ADP with a prior hit, and then top 10 quarterbacks in ADP with multiple prior hits, right? That's really the group there. And then as you start coming down, and that, by the way, that group has to have multiple prior, those groups have to have three or more years of contractual security as well. So you keep that in mind. And then you start looking down to star players. It's a little bit different. They have a 40% or better chance to hit from multiple top half finishes in Y1 through 5. Right. So if you're thinking at running back, you're thinking two top 12 seasonal finishes over the next 5 years. If you're thinking at wide receivers, two top 12 seasonal finishes over the next 5 years. You're looking at 40% shots at those. And then you're looking at tight end, top six quarterback. You're looking at top six as well. So the definition sort of in there, in the book I talk about, right, there's guys that strictly meet the definition, and then we have to modify it a little bit based on what we know. So given what we know, that is quarterbacks in the top 12, excuse me, in the top 10 of ADP with a hit, and then top five running backs, top eight wide receivers, and top three tight ends. You also include in that top 12 wide receivers who are finishers, wide receivers who have finished in the top 12 in the first 2 years of the rookie deal, right? So if you're coming right in and maybe you're lagging behind, but you're lagging behind in cost, but you finish in the first 2 years of the top 12 wide receiver, like that's a really, really good good indication going forward. And then top six finishers at the running back positions in your first 2 years, right? So if somehow those guys aren't in the top five at the running back position or top eight at the wide receiver position, they're included as well. You look down at core assets, and core assets it's the next definition below. You look, and it's a 50% chance to hit for a top half seasonal finish over the next 3 years. So you have basically in that, you have any quarterback remaining in the top 10 of ADP, and those are essentially guys who don't have a hit yet. And then it's top 18 guys with multiple hits in the resume with multiple years of job security. That's how we define core assets. And then rookie quarterbacks selected in the top 10 of the NFL draft. And then running backs, it's 6 through 13. Wide receivers, 9 through 14. First-round running backs and future first-round rookie picks as well. One thing that I would think about, too, is like when you're looking at these, you know, there was a question in the group chat last week about David Montgomery. Do you take a first? Like, just by the strict definition of this, like, it's pretty close, right? Because, like, for example, that first-round rookie pick is in there, right? As you start looking at the assets again, we do include two other groups in this, right? So it's, again, it's running backs in the top 6 through 13. It's wide receivers in 9 through 14. However, we also include running backs on rookie contracts with a top 12 hit on their resume, which David Montgomery would qualify. And then any wide receiver in the top 24 of ADP with a top 12 hit on their resume. So you look at those things, and again, there's reasons why those guys can fall in value. But when you look at those types of assets, they tend to be the type that overperform versus their ADP. And that they perform much more like core assets do than contributing assets do. And so you bump them up a tier again. So if you just were to think about this in terms of a core asset definition, is a guy like, how does a guy like David Montgomery fit in? How does a guy like Josh Jacobs fit in? I call them, by my definition of core assets, I call them core assets. And that is a future first as well. So when you think about that, right? So if you're thinking about trying to trade within that tier, and you get you get Josh Jacobs in a first, you get David Montgomery in a first, right? That is two core assets that you're adding. Right, for the sake of if you're trading running back 8 for one of those guys, for example, or running back 10 for one of those guys, for example, that is really Like that's I think a savvy play. So those would be some of the things that I would think about with that. Again, we'll get into the individual guys here in future shows that we're going to do. Contributing assets then are assets that have a 50% chance of hitting at their position. So those are basically any quarterback remaining in the top 12 of ADP, quarterbacks projected to start week one, who have a hit on their resume, is one that I also include in this. So you're thinking like your Matt Ryans, right, who doesn't qualify by the ADP, but he's going to be a week one starter, right? Those are some of the guys that I would sort of think about there. First round rookie quarterbacks not selected in the top 10 picks of the NFL draft. I would consider them there as well as contributing assets. Running backs from 14 through 33 in ADP, wide receivers 14 through 32 in ADP, and then tight ends from 4 through 16 in ADP. Remember what I said, it's a very long sort of tier at the tight end position. There's a lot of similarity there. With this year, I break that a little bit up into a couple of different things. So we'll get there in that specific position. I also include some other guys in this range. Wide receivers with multiple prior hits who are in the top 40 of ADP. I don't think necessarily 40 has to be a hard line, right? So I would say somewhere between 40 and 45, 40 and 50. Right, I think you kind of have to sort of know it when you see it in that range. Right? If they kind of look alike, right, I think that's, you know, I write these things so it gives you kind of a bright line rule to look at. But like if Tyler Lockett and Brandon Cooks are straddling that line on either side of it, like you kind of know that they're basically the same, right? So that would be the thing that I would think about with that as well. Use your head, right? Like these are kind of bright line rules, and then you say, all right, like let's apply the rule, and then, all right, if we sort of look in that range and we see like three or four guys that hovering right around, it's 5-6 picks, it's a tier, right? If we're looking like keep trade cut, they're within, I don't know, whatever, 100 points of each other, whatever. If it's in startup ADP, they're within a round of each other, right? Like, okay, like there's like, you know, there's seven guys in a, you know, 13 pick area, and you know, of that seven guys, it's, you know, four of them look the same in terms of profile stuff. You're like, okay, right? Like those guys qualify, right? So use your sort of mind on that. And I did specifically in that. We'll get into that as well. Again, so wide receivers with multiple prior hits, top 40 of ADP. Running back selected in the second or third round of the NFL draft. So rookie running backs, day two rookie running backs. Day one rookie wide receivers, day one rookie tight ends, and future second round rookie picks. After that is your partial contributing assets. I wanted to call these guys non-contributing assets, but I thought that was insulting. I do think there's a group of guys that sort of are in no man's land right now. We'll have better definitions for them going forward. But generally speaking, these are three types of players, right? They're your backups. So they're your human hand grenades are in this. They're your streamers, right? So that's your, guys you might pick up on the waiver wire. Guys that might be, you know, in season, might be pickup guys that sort of like that. Guys that you might, you know, play as backups in your roster, right? So this might be, like a Jimmy Garoppolo, if he becomes a starting quarterback, like he would probably qualify a tier up. But you think about at quarterback, like this would have been more of a guy like Tyler Huntley. Right, that's sort of the range of what you're thinking of. At wide receiver, if you picked up, you know, in season, a guy like Gabe Davis or something like that, if you're in a shallower format, right? Like that type of player, a streaming guy, shouldn't have a ton of allegiance, right? That's the key thing. And again, if you can move, the key thing on all this is if you can move one of these guys up to a higher tier, you do it, right? So again, if you sort of can get a streaming asset off the waiver wire, and you can turn that into a second, right? You do it. Right? That's basically jumping up a tier. And if you could take a backup and you can get a second, right? You do that outside of an exceptional situation where of who the backup is. And then the other thing is your value plays, right? Again, I generally think that as a general matter, I think we spend too much time worrying about what other people value. So that would be one thing where I would just sort of caution folks and say, hey, like, we don't need to pay a ton of attention to what other people are doing. We could sort of look at this and say, well, here's kind of the profiles that we look at. Like, we shouldn't try and necessarily predict value going forward on the high ends of our roster, right? We want to win with those guys. We want our productive guys to be, we want our high value guys to be productive, not some speculation game. But I do think in this range, you're looking at guys who are, you can take value shots, right? And this might be, for example, this might be like, hey, listen, I think David Joku coming into this offseason could be really valuable in terms of he sees a potential uptick in valuation. That's an interesting spot, right? If you're looking for guys like stash guys who might be free agents going into next year, that could be an interesting type situation. That's kind of the line that I'm thinking of. If you're seeing, some day two wide receivers, something like that, where you're like, all right, listen, I really, really like this guy. And I can sort of take him as I think this could be a value guy, right? Like, that's kind of where they should be, but that's further down the roster, right? You shouldn't get mixed up in those guys being, top 40 guys. Remember, we're kind of strict up there because we don't want to miss up there, right? Because those can be consequential misses. We're trying to whittle down the pool and try and eliminate some of the places that we know miss. So that's really the thing that I think about with a lot of these guys is that, right? Try to conceptualize how to think about them, and then you can, whether it's make trades, right? You're constantly trying to move up the board. And if you see any holes in sort of this, like, let me know. I'm interested and thinking about it and applying it and obviously we'll make revisions if necessary. But I think as a general framework, this is kind of how I think about it. And as we study more, I'm sure we'll change different profiles to maybe qualify for different things. But I think that just is generally a pretty good framework in terms of how to think about it. So I do think that there's some rules. Again, just some quick things. The boundaries, they're not hard and fast, right? And I will sort of explain those to you in some of the future episodes. ADP is a starting point. It's not the only answer, right? So that kind of goes the same way, right? If it's, again, use your mind. If it's pretty close, there's quarterbacks that are overvalued, and as a result, it's putting Russell Wilson at 11 and Stafford at 12 or something like that, and that's behind Fields, Lance, and Lawrence. Like, I'm including those guys as star guys, as top 10 guys. Right? Like, that's just, they're getting, right, my sort of knowledge boost, right? We sort of know what the difference between those profiles is. We're going to do that at the quarterback position. So that's the big thing. Remember too, not all players within a single asset are the same either, right? So that would be one thing that I think to keep in mind with this is just because we sort of have core guys, right? Or if two guys are core guys, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to value them the same within that tier. But keep in mind that they're relatively close, right? So to make a trade from one to another in terms of odds, you shouldn't be giving a huge upgrade, right? You might want to give a small upgrade, but you probably don't want to give like a huge piece to make a big upgrade. And that would sort of be the thing about this is it sort of keeps, I think it keeps, it should cause you to sort of pump your brakes on what types of trades to make and really focus your mind on what types of trades you want to make, right? Like, here's things to avoid doing, like, but here's the things that really spend your time doing. And I think that's helpful. So again, not everyone within the same asset class or within the same tier, or within the same hierarchy is, you're going to treat them the same. You're not. You're going to have favorites. You're going to have guys that you value differently and think about differently and prefer. And that's fine. But understand that the difference in cost between them paying up because you like another guy a lot more, you got to be careful doing that because the odds are probably closer than you expect. Again, if you're giving in the core asset category, if you're moving from one core asset to another and giving a first, right, that's kind of burning assets, right? You don't really want to do that. So that would just be something I would say to be really, really careful doing. And yeah, so then it's a couple other things that you can kind of go in two for one up the asset hierarchy. I think is helpful. That would be something to potentially to sort of think about. Two core assets for a star asset. Like if you could sort of do those things. Again, I kind of think about trying to add in back on the back end, right? If you're clearing a roster spot, that's a value to, if you're adding back in a contributing guy, something like that, those things can be really helpful as well. So those are just some general principles that I'll have. And then I'll do a podcast coming up in terms of, some of the, probably next week's strategy session will be, kind of moving around the board and some more application stuff of this. But I do want to frame the things and sort of give you some of the rules that I use. Again, if you don't have the book, right, a lot of this is numbers sort of just thrown at you. I sort of list out all the asset stuff in the book. Go ahead, get it. Again, use subscription. It's 50% off your it's 50% off of your 2022 edition. So go ahead and check that out, and it'll lay it out for you there. So that'll do it for the strategy session, and I'll have some content covering this stuff over the next few days coming forward. And until next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.